And we're live, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Donnie Da Silva. I am joined, as always, by Chris Tidwell, the notorious TID, and my bro Danio. Obviously, we're starting this week's show a little bit different than we normally would. All the pomp and circumstance and bravado and hee-hee-ha-ha. We're not doing that at this moment. And the reason we're not doing that is because things are a little bit different right now this week. We're going to try our best to navigate our way through it. There was a lot of discussion between the three of us leading up to tonight's show on whether or not we were going to cancel the show altogether or whether or not we were going to try to move forward. So we don't have a guest scheduled as we have each and every episode prior to this one. We decided it wasn't appropriate this week. We are going to push forward with a tribute. And that tribute is to Shannon Spruill, better known to fans of sports entertainment as Daphne Unger. The story has been everywhere. If you're a wrestling fan, you have already seen this story. If not, Daphne was heavily involved in wrestling on television from, I believe, 1999. If I'm not mistaken, until 2010 officially, when she was forced to retire due to a series of injuries, and she stuck around in the business for a little while thereafter, and she was still doing appearances and things like that right up until the pandemic. She was someone who really had no concept of how many lives she touched in a really positive way. Last night, Daphne took to Instagram Live with a series of three handwritten notes and read them out loud, or at least parts of them, which essentially amounted to her will as she cried and apologized and said goodbyes to some people that were watching live. I was one of them. And a few hours later, she was found and pronounced dead. So first and foremost, our thoughts are with everyone in Shannon's family, all of her closest friends. And it's been a very difficult last 23 hours. So let me open this up. So Tid, I know we were just talking about this off air. We were trying to figure out when we first met her. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you and I were together at a WCW show in Buffalo around 2000. Yeah. And I think that was the first time that we met Daph face to face.
Yeah, absolutely. It's weird. It's bizarre. It's never, it's almost to the point where it's never good no matter what. Daphne was always everybody's like little sister or big sister. Yeah. She was never a peer, so to speak. Like, you looked at her like she was any kind of, threat to your spot or anything like that inside of the wrestling business. She was just, her ultimate goal all the time seemed to be to make sure that you felt good about you. Right? Constantly. And in doing so, I think a lot of that wasn't what she was given herself. And it's a shame. It's a real shame. It's a sadness for all of us. Because we still want her to be here for us.
She was a person, for those that don't know, she was hired to WCW, which was the chief rival television property to the WWF back in the day, the Ted Turner company. She was hired there on a six week contract as an actor. She never had any interest in being a pro wrestler. She was hired to be the stalker of Ric Flair's son, David Flair, which turned into a 20-year career.
Yeah.
That 6-week contract turned into a 20-year career. And she has in the past made headlines for all sorts of different reasons. Not the least of which was the lawsuit that she had against her former employer, TNA Wrestling, who she worked for several years, and sued for medical expenses that were not paid. She won a pretty significant settlement. Yeah. So and there's been all sorts of, I don't even know how to say this, but you know, Dan, you and I have talked a lot about people's mental health and the state of mental health. Mm-hmm. And, sure. Daphne, for whatever reason, always seemed to be one of those people within wrestling circles whose willingness to be public about her mental health wasn't treated with open arms. It was treated like, oh, she's clout chasing, or she's looking for attention, or she's this, or she's that.
She doesn't mean it.
And over the last,
right,
you know, yeah, that was the attitude. And over the last 12, 13, 14 hours, I've spoken to so many people that have said they were fighting for her to get more attention, more help, more treatment, and this and that, to have companies that she had previously worked for step up to the plate and pay for her treatment. A lot of it a result of physical injuries that then manifested herself into being in just such a poor mental state. You know, and I know, Dan, you didn't know her personally. She was a guest on our old show several times, and I want to talk about that in a moment. But what's your visceral reaction, though, just to this horrific episode of just mental health, clearly on display, a complete breaking of her mental state?
Yeah. Well, firstly, my heart goes out to her family, her friends, all who knew her, including you boys. I can't begin to imagine what it's like to experience that as someone who was close to her in her world, and to know that she couldn't take being here. I can't imagine what it was like to be her and to feel like she didn't want to be here. I want to take this opportunity real quick to alert everybody watching to the suicide prevention numbers on the screen, both in Canada and the United States. If you're listening and not watching to this podcast in Canada, you can call 1-833-456-4566. Again, 1-833-456-4566. In the United States, it's 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. I appreciate you putting those numbers up, Don, because what my visceral reaction is that we are still in a place in our society where we're not regarding mental health with the same type of, urgency as we would our physical health. I mean, especially over the past year and a half in dealing with a pandemic, we are continually reminded about how to protect our physical health. Of course, there's many debates over how to do that, whether social distancing, wearing masks, or taking the vaccine is the key. But the continual conversation is how to protect your physical health. Mental health, of course, has been impacted by the pandemic. But long before there was a pandemic, there have been people who've been dealing with depression, feelings of isolation, loneliness, despair in various ways and for different reasons. And I find that too often many people react to it as if it's like, get over it. It's not that big a deal. Or they themselves can find ways to be happy and can't understand how others can't, especially if they're successful. There are individuals who are celebrities, who are rich and famous, who have taken their lives. And to people who aren't rich and famous and don't have the money, you think, how could they possibly be unhappy? Mental health truly is. There's issues that are there's such thing as mental diseases. There's emotional despair that people can't get over just by way of, you know, being told to get over it or to, you know, go to their happy place. It literally affects them in ways that we can't understand because we're not facing that. It's like a person who has a disease, how they feel and how they have to react by way of taking medication or surgery, whatever is required of them. And when we don't feel that, we can sympathize all we want. But I don't think the same sympathies are given to those with mental health. I don't think it's taken as seriously. And that's my message to everybody out there listening and watching, is that if there are people out there, but if there are people in your life who you think could use the help, please pay attention to those phone numbers on the screen and the one that I listed. And I don't think it's ever a bad idea to put in a phone call to even check in with those who can possibly help you out, because we too often hear about these symptoms of poor physical health, but there's symptoms to poor mental health when people say certain things, right? Like you, I can't imagine what you were thinking watching that IG live. There's certain things that people say, there's certain things that people do that are out of the ordinary for us, but we shouldn't overlook as no big deal. And I hope that we can hopefully use this sort of unfortunate incident and tragedy really to try and wake people up to the fact that mental health is a much more serious, should be a much more serious concern, just as you would if you were physically sick. Look into the symptoms that you see from people in your life and in your own that suggest maybe you need some help, and get the help. Don't be afraid to.
I was just going to say, as I went through the Twitterverse, you know, yesterday and this morning, trying to see what people are saying about all this, what the reactions are, you know, where people are weighing in. There's a lot of false information that's going on right now about this story. A lot. Yeah.
That's always the way, though. So that's a social media thing. People try to jump out in front and hope that they're throwing a hook out there that's going to catch something. Mm-hmm. They don't really know. They're speculating, right? And that's the problem. And then people say it because it's in text, it's in word, and then other people take that as gospel, as truth. And right. then it just snowballs and it becomes a problem. It becomes such a huge problem. I mean, I gotta ask a question while we're on the topic of crisis hotlines and you know, you say to look for the signs and stuff like that. Yeah. There's also instances out there where you don't see the signs.
Right.
You don't see anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't, and I don't ever attest to speak for other people on the subject. I only know from my own personal experiences in life, and I've had not one, not two, but three very close family members, cousins, who have all taken their own lives for certain reasons. One of them was drank himself to death instantly. Another one was ran his car into a wall. And the third one, who is a very young, came back, one of the 22, I think we've talked about it before in the past, a young Marine who took his own life one night after just playing cards, got up from the table, went upstairs, and that was it. So there's instances where you don't see it and you don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And those are the toughest ones to swallow, right? I think the important thing is everybody just has to be open to communicate. And just communicate, man.
Case. We have to remove the stigma that asking for help is not okay. That stigma has to be removed. And listen,
just start a conversation. Don't even ask for help. Don't even ask for fucking help. Just start a conversation.
Listen,
I can read a motherfucker.
We know that's true. Tid is a guru when it comes to that. And I'll give you my own personal example. For all of you out there listening, anytime I call that man on the phone, anytime I call Chris Tidwell on the phone, he doesn't answer by saying hello.
Yeah.
He says, "You okay?" His initial thought, it doesn't matter if he's busy, doesn't matter if he's working, doesn't matter if he's in the middle of dinner, he'll answer the phone. He won't let that shit go to voicemail. He'll answer the phone and he'll go, "You okay?" If he doesn't answer the phone, I know it's because something's going on and he's asleep or whatever. And then like today, when I called him last night, when this was all going on, first thing this morning, I get a text. "Hey, I'm so sorry. I was sleeping. You okay?" That's a person that gives a shit.
Yeah.
That's a person who doesn't wait for signs. He's constantly looking to make sure you're okay. That's a real friend.
There's been more than one incident when before we went on air, Tid immediately could tell something was up and made sure to ask me before we went to air. And that always meant a lot. And I don't know how you do it, but you know, and it helps because sometimes it's just the simple acknowledgement. I'm sure this is what you're referring to, Donnie, the simple acknowledgement that I recognize something is off and I'm asking about it. Yeah. Sometimes is all you need to know.
Just spark a conversation. Yeah. Man.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
As I was saying though, anyone who knew Shannon, with any level of intimacy was not surprised that she was struggling with her mental health. That wasn't a secret. She was, at least with me anyway, she was not shy to say, hey, I'm not doing so well right now. Mm. Although there was never like a, what can I do? And then there'd be like some kind of follow-up, living in different countries, separated by borders, COVID, everything else makes everything so much more challenging. And of course, just the way it is, right? When people are living their lives, it's like, it's hard to stay in touch as much as you want to. But she started on Instagram Live last night. I want to say it was about 10 to 9, something like that, Eastern time. And she started with only maybe a dozen or so people watching. And I was one of them because I got a notification that Daphne's going live. And I'm like, oh shit, I don't remember Daphne ever going live before. So I tuned in and I watched.
Jeez.
And she started by saying, can anyone here tell me what's happening on September 5th? And all her fans are just responding with, love you, Daphne. Love you. Hi, gorgeous. Love you. You know, can you sign my merch that I bought? Love you. Love you. And she's like, no, guys, do you know what's happening on September 5th? No, no response. Guys, can you Google it? I can't continue until you guys know what's happening on September 5th. And then they're all like, oh, there's an AEW pay-per-view. And she's like, it's not wrestling related. Do you guys know what's happening on September 5th? And I'm looking, I'm like, what the fuck is happening September 5th? And finally, a few people, myself included, were like, it's the start of Suicide Prevention Week. She's like, yeah. She's like, so Suicide Prevention Week, I want you all out there to pay attention and help those that you love that need help. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Is this a cry for help, or is she already doing something? Like, my head is spinning a million miles a minute. And then she just keeps talking and she's struggling because now her phone is starting to blow up. Mm-hmm. And every time her phone rings, she's hitting the button to ignore the call and keep doing her live. And she starts reading from pieces of paper and she's talking about how she wants to have her brain donated to university in Boston for study of CTE. She was talking about how she wanted her family members to look after her dogs. And I'm like, okay, stop, stop, stop. Daph, what's going on? Right. And at this point I literally stopped watching. I started calling. I started trying to contact anyone I knew who may live closer to her or could get in touch with her faster than I could. And then the conversation started escalating and she was literally talking about how she had just watched an NWA women's pay-per-view and a wrestler who she's extremely close with that she refers to as her daughter got a chance to perform on that show. And she said she was so proud of her, but at the same time, she was sad because she's never going to get an opportunity to do that kind of thing on that stage. And she never got a chance to shine in that same way. And it makes her sad, but she's happy for those that did. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And like, it was reminding me so much of my last conversation with Chris Kanyon. It was reminding me so much of that. And I was like, okay. So at this point, myself and I can only imagine hundreds others, because at this point, there's almost 2,000 people watching her live on Instagram. And hundreds of people are calling the police and saying, do something. And they're like, we don't know where she lives. Well, we don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do. at one point, the things got even scarier, and I don't even want to go into details because I don't even like talking about it, but things got scarier. And then Instagram eventually cut the feed off at, just before 10 PM Eastern, and it never came back on. It had been cut off a couple times earlier and she immediately came back on. It never came back on. I kept refreshing. Is she coming back on? Is she coming back on? She never came back on. And apparently at about 3:30 this morning, some 5.5 hours after that Instagram live went off the air, she was found dead. And first of all, I don't think it would have been possible for the police to have gotten there fast enough. It seemed like she made up her mind on what she was going to do, but it also seems like nobody was in a hurry to get there. You know, I had heard word that police had been in contact with her family shortly after that video went down and had received her address, because she had just moved a week or two ago. Mm. So that made it harder for people to find her. Shannon was the person that when Dan and I back in 2006 decided we're going to start doing a podcast just because we want to.
You're dumb.
She was the very first person in the wrestling business, active in the wrestling business, who said, I'll do an interview with you guys. And I want to help put you guys over. She's like, send me some of your merchandise. I'm going to model it and I'll take pictures and I'll put it up on my website. I'm like, what do you want for that? She's like, I want anything. I want your cool t-shirts. Just send me your stuff and I'll do it for you. And she did. And she came on our show, and I'll never forget this one moment. Like, you know, between the three of us, we've interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years. And to be honest with you, sometimes I don't remember who we've interviewed. And if I do remember that we interviewed them, I have no clue what we talked about. But I do remember in that interview back in 2006, Dan, you asked her, you said, can you give us one of your trademark screams that you're known for? One of your horror movie type screams. And she said, yeah, absolutely. But if I do, you got to rap for me. And you're like, oh, shit. Okay. So she screamed her face off. You freestyled and she was so happy. And she was emailing me, bro. And she was on MSN Messenger, because that's how long ago this was.
Yeah, man.
And MySpace and all that shit back in the day, AOL. And she's messaging me. She's like, holy fuck, that was so cool. That's the coolest interview I've ever done. Your boy is awesome. When I come up to Canada, we're all going to party. And she went out of her way to put us over. She had a heart of gold. And she's going to be missed. She's going to be missed by me. She's going to be missed by a lot of people out there. I can't even begin to guess how many people I've spoken to today that are just personally crushed over this news. And like I said, I don't even know what the hell we're doing tonight. This isn't even a show. We're just literally having a cathartic venting, because it sounded like a better idea than to not mention it at all, or to let it go another 2 weeks or whatever.
It's kind of one of these things that we do. And this is how, like, this is the antithesis of what this show was created for in the first place. If you think about it, right? Hold on. We had been given the opportunity to all get together and redo this thing the way that we're doing it right now because of the circumstances of the world that we were living in at the time, right? And the fact that we're still doing this and we're given the opportunity to do this and try to talk people through this after this long is is amazing. It's amazing. Please. Like I said, you know, I almost like, it sounds kind of corny and, you know, shitty and stuff like that. But man, if only there was somebody that was cool enough, not us, because I don't want anything to do with it. Although, you know, just credit the show for it. But like, you know, make some shirts, make some bandanas, make some stuff that you can donate to these suicide things. Do what you can out there, you know, and just ask people, you okay?
Mm. Yeah, that would make a good t-shirt. You know, Donnie reminded me of our interaction with her on our former podcast. You know, that was our first foray into podcasting. Yeah. Well, my first foray into podcasting, not yours. And, you know, I'm reminded of the kind of kindness that certain people show that makes them unique and different from so many others. The type of people who are selfless, don't ask for anything in return for doing you a favor, wanting to put you over, help you, push you, support you. And she's in a very unique class of people that isn't a very large group. We all have people that we know who pretty much don't, you know, show the kind of support that you would hope you'd get from them. And so when someone like her comes around, does a show, does an interview, and goes out of her way to, you know, push what it is you're doing, support what it is you're doing, obviously yeah. That has a lasting effect, which is why we're talking about it, like, what, 15 years later. So I want to thank her for that. You know, she left behind a great example for how we should be, for how we should treat each other, how we should work together and grow as people. So yeah, it's definitely sad news to obviously hear this and to know that the indelible mark that she left with so many people is going to cause so much pain, because it was better having her here than not.
It's funny that you say that, though, like the indelible mark. And there's an old, you know, saying, and I hope that I get this right, because I probably will fuck it up because I'm a moron. But smarter, much smarter people than me have said things like, you are always alive as long as somebody is talking about you.
Mm.
You're only alive as long as that last person who remembers you is still talking about you. And I feel
forever.
She is going to live forever. Absolutely. I mean, I want to toast to the woman, to the friend, to Daphne.
Yeah, absolutely. It was about 11 years ago that Dan and I sat in our old studio doing a show where we had the unfortunate duty to broadcast right after our friend Chris Canyon had taken his life. That same night, the person who I talked to on the phone for about an hour was Daphne.
Wow.
And she was the one that was telling me, like, you know, it really sucks, someone's got to be in a really bad place to do that. And, you know, he had already attempted it 6 or 7 times before, and
yeah,
you know, you got to understand that he's in a different headspace. And I guess at this point, that's my only solace, is I have to understand she was just in a very different headspace.
It's an at that moment thing. It's an at that moment time.
She was literally crying on her Instagram live saying, I'm so alone. You guys don't understand. I'm so alone. Yet I'm watching the comments pour down the screen, and it's not fans. It's her friends. It's her colleagues. It's her peers that are saying, we love you. We're here for you. Call me, answer your phone. And it didn't matter at that point. Her mind was made up.
Yeah. I think this is the thing that people need to understand about mental health issues, is that it may not necessarily be based on what you consider reality, but somehow it's their reality and their perception is different. Like, you could have literally hundreds of friends express their love to you. Obviously people are calling, reaching out, messaging, trying to prevent this, but it couldn't stop her from feeling alone. These feelings that we don't have are felt by people who seemingly have everything. Right. And, but what they don't have is that, whatever is missing, that happiness, that sense of belonging, that worthiness to be on earth. So it's not easy. There's no quick fix. There's no vaccine for this. These suicide prevention numbers at the bottom of the screen that we should say again before we wrap up is it's an attempt to give some hope, to give some solace, to give some help. But it does take all of us, right? It's not going to be a hotline. It's going to be, as you say, man, it's taking from Tid's examples, is checking in. It's making sure people know that they're there, because, you know, you can feel alone. Shit, I've felt alone. And like I said, man, there's just those moments. Sometimes there's small moments, but they're big deals, because you know someone cares in the moment you need them to, right? And so be abreast of how you feel, how others feel, and just check in to see how they feel, because it can actually make a difference, I would hope, anyways. And if it's okay with you guys, real quick, everybody watching, and especially if you're listening, if you're in Canada, Suicide Prevention Line is 1-833-456-4566. That's 1-833-456-4566. If you're in the U.S., 1-800-273-TALK. Again, 1-800-273-TALK. Those are the suicide prevention lines. Don't be afraid to use them.
Here's what I want to say very quickly, guys, if you don't mind, before you wrap this whole thing up.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go y'all one further on this one out there, those of you that are listening. Like, you know, my socials are out there, which means that my Facebook is out there, which means that you can call me, which means you can call me personally, and I will ask you if you're okay.
It's huge.
That's the truth, man.
That's huge, man.
I'm telling you, I could have saved a lot of money in therapy if I just called Tid more often.
I would have beat you down for it. The money.
We wanted to talk about passports and Texas laws, and we wanted to talk about Cam Newton getting cut, and we wanted to talk about tons of stuff this week, but none of it fucking seems to matter at this moment.
But also, we've always had a way to take these dark moments and like, you know, help people, even if it's just listening to us talk. You know what I mean? Like, let's all get through this. Let's get through this together.
Please. We will feature the suicide prevention hotlines on the Godfathers of Podcasting.com for the rest of September. We will feature those numbers on every episode of this show for the rest of September. Mm-hmm. And we will continue to try and raise awareness and change the conversation. You know, let's change the stigma. Let's look out for each other. And
you know how things change.
And to try and, take care of the ones that we give a shit about.
Mm-hmm. We live in a world now that the reason that things are changing, the reason that things are evolving, so to speak, is because more and more people are feeling just a little bit more comfortable about having the conversation. Maybe not to somebody who absolutely needs it at that time, but people are having conversations. And the more conversations that we have, it becomes this entire safety net where it feels okay to talk about it. Please, people, take advantage and just talk about it. And more importantly, just listen.
Apologies to those that are texting in right now. I see the messages popping up. We're not taking texts this week. We're not doing that. You can text us next week, and
we appreciate.
We do. All of you. Totally do. We just, you know, we don't want to.
Like, if you're sending nudes, we're okay.
Send those directly to Tid. He said you can call him.
Yeah.
We don't want to change the conversation. We don't want to change the narrative this week. I know
not at all.
Different questions and things about stuff that's going on, and we appreciate all that. Normally we will deal with it. I never thought I would have to be doing this show, you know. And it sucks whenever you have to talk about stuff like this. And when I got the news this morning at around 11 a.m and the official word I received was she's gone, but the family has asked that we don't talk about it and don't put it public yet. I'm sitting here going, well, if we can't talk about it, I can't do the show tonight because I can't go and talk about anything else. That's just not going to happen. And I apologize to those of you out there that are saying like, oh, come on. Listen, this is real life. Yeah, we're not on here playing characters. We're not on here, you know, giving you a show. This is us. You
know? Not this week.
I mean, for the most part, we're pretty transparent, man. We're pretty much what you see is what you get.
I mean, Dan is damn near transparent. True. That new fade with that new haircut. There ain't no doubt about that. You're looking beautiful, by the way. I got to say that before we go, man. You're looking beautiful,
that's,
son.
That's the kind of compliment you just need to give to people more often. And I just want to thank you, brother, honestly, man, because legit, you've and this goes for both of you. You've helped me through some tough times. We've all gone through some tough times, obviously in our own way. So I'd actually like to just take this opportunity to everybody out there who knows me personally, who's ever been there for me. And there's a lot of y'all, and y'all know what I'm talking about. If you know me personally, some of the things that I've had real tough times with in my life, I just want to thank you. I really want to thank you, because there are some moments that I can certainly recall and wish I could forget, where I've had people let me scream the paint off their walls. They let me vent. They heard me out. They were just there. You know, and God knows what would happen if they weren't. So thank you. I appreciate you. And I hope I can do half as much for anybody else out there who needs it. And whoever's in my life, if I can help you, I'm there as well.
Sometimes it sends me into a groove when I hear those words. And all I can think is like Sly and the Family Stone. Thank you for letting me be myself.
No doubt.
And as I say goodnight, on behalf of my brothers here, if anyone out there is thinking that this entire episode was in poor taste because we're capitalizing or we're clout chasing or we're hopping on a hashtag, nope. Let me just remind you, she was a friend. She was someone that we cared about very deeply. And this platform is our means for public catharsis. This platform is our means to deal with this. And to be honest with you, I received so many messages today from listeners, viewers, colleagues, peers, asking me what I know. So I said, fuck it. I'm just going to put everything in one package. And if you want to know what I know, here it all is. Don't know much, but this is it. So on behalf of my brothers, Danny O and Chris Tidwell, my name is Donnie DeSilva. Shan, we love you. We are going to miss you so much. And if something comes up in the next few days from her family or friends in terms of fundraising efforts or anything in her name, we will pass it on. Thanks, everyone. Good night.